The Broncos have made their way to La La Land looking for their big break, a chance to get back in the win column.
The key is to overcome injury, you know, with your depth, you know, and with your players, and to overcome adversity by staying with the process.
Even with understudies playing big roles, the show must go on.
You hate that, you know, injuries to be the reason why you're out there playing, but that's the way this business goes, so looking forward to making the most of those opportunities.
Starring in the lead role, Trevor Siemian must deliver an award-winning performance.
That's part of the job, right? Taking care of the ball, but being aggressive with it when you have to be, and we'll be all right, like I said, going forward, I think.
Last time, it was a Hollywood ending. What's in store for the sequel? Get your popcorn ready. The Broncos TV pregame show starts right now. Get your popcorn ready is right. Should be a highly entertaining game today between the Broncos and Chargers in beautiful Southern California. Although it's going to be a hot one with game time temps in the 90s. And with a win today, the Broncos would ensure a 500 or better divisional record for the 20th time in the last 22 years. Hello, and thank you for joining us for the Broncos TV pregame show. I'm Phil Milani, and the Broncos are back in L.A. for the first time since 1994. We'll have much more on that later on in the show, plus a one-on-one with head coach Vance Joseph. But first, let's check in with the team as they made their way inside the StubHub Center. The guys are ready to bounce back, but it won't be easy this week with the flood of injuries. Just yesterday, the Broncos promoted three players from the practice squad. Let's now check in with Matt Boyer, who's one-on-one with head coach Vance Joseph.
Coach, in week one, you faced this Chargers team.
Yes.
A tough, hard-fought win. And watching the film this week, how much different do you think this matchup looks compared to week one?
Well, obviously, teams change weekly. They're playing well, you know, in both phases. So it's going to be a challenge on both sides of the ball. Phillips played well with six touchdowns and one interception in the last 2 weeks. And Gordon has been their spark on offense. And defensively, the two rushers are playing well. So it's going to be tough.
You faced adversity before.
Yes.
In week three against the Bills. You come back, you win against the Raiders. This team has proved it can do that.
Absolutely.
Going into this matchup, what is the thing that you want to stress to your team going into Sunday, and how do you get off on the right foot?
Let's get back to our formula to win. That's running the football, that's stopping the run, that's converting on third downs, that's playing good red zone offense and defense. We do that, we'll be fine. You know, that's our formula. We get back there, I feel good about our chances.
Coach, best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matt. Adversity is right. Now we're joined by Broncos senior reporter Andrew Mason with his matchup to watch for today. And Mace, injuries are going to be a factor in this one.
Yes, injuries will be because, of course, the Broncos were counting on Donald Stevenson replacement of Lick Watson, but Stevenson hurt his calf in practice on Thursday, and that leaves Allen Barber moving over from left guard to right tackle. Now, Barber has been a right tackle before, so he has some experience there. But the challenge is going to be steep with arguably the best pair of edge rushers in the NFL today, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. They have 13 combined sacks so far this season, and we saw back in week one what kind of havoc they can wreak in the pass rush.
Yeah, we saw on Friday when Joseph was delivering the final injury report, he said, yeah, Stevenson's going to be out. And we said, whoa, Donald Stevenson? So that was a bit of a surprise to all of us. But like you mentioned, Mace, what is it going to take to stop Ingram? He has 7.5 sacks this season.
Well, some of it's going to be schematic, not just simply getting up and blocking him. You're going to have the tight ends maybe involved chipping him. You're going to see the running backs also involved in pass protection. But when I talk about schematic, I'm talking about things you can do in terms of play calling. Screen passes, for instance, that can take the edge off a pass rush. If you've got the screen game going, Ingram and Bosa cannot simply think about attacking the quarterback off the edge. They're going to have to account for the screen game as well. And then some things the Broncos can do in terms of their play calling. Look, back in week one, there was a play where the Broncos got Benny Fowler motioning to the right side, and that forced Melvin Ingram into coverage on Benny Fowler, took him out of the pass rush. That was a mismatch. Simeon hit Fowler, moved the chains, set up a touchdown. Those are the kind of things you can do that force Ingram and Bosa out of what they do best, simply attacking off the edge.
Yeah, you got to make them think. They can't just rush. Mace, thank you very much. We appreciate it. You can find Andrew Mason on Orange and Blue 760 Monday through Friday from 10 to noon for First and 10 at 10, or on Twitter at Mace Denver, or even on DenverBroncos.com. Check out his power rankings next week. Broncos 7th after the loss to the Giants. I don't know, Mace. Just kidding. Now let's hear from Trevor Siemian and company, who still have a lot of confidence in the guys blocking up front.
He's our swing tackle. He's going to play. And again, you know, when you're blocking these speed rushers, it's based on him winning one-on-one. It's based on scheme, and it's based on chipping those guys. So I have no concern with him. He'll play and play well.
It's going to be a great challenge this week. I mean, we're playing one of the best fronts in football. So, you know, to a certain extent, those guys are going to get around the quarterback somehow, some way with whoever you got up there. So you got to be aware of them. But a lot of confidence in those guys, obviously.
You know, you always ask, you know, through the training camp and through the preseason games, you rotate guys during games in certain positions. This is why, to get those guys ready. And we've got a lot of confidence in the guys that we have.
The Broncos will obviously look to get the ball to C.J. Anderson's hands today. They're 3-0 when Anderson has 20 or more carries. Now let's once again go to Matt Boyer, who's standing by inside the Broncos locker room.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, welcome inside the Broncos locker room. The equipment staff behind me making their last-minute adjustments before today's game. Now, this is going to be a bit of a different scene for the Broncos. This is their first time they're going to play inside the StubHub Center. So this locker room, this field, a little bit unfamiliar. However, I know the players are very excited to see what the atmosphere brings. They've been talking about it all week. The Broncos always had great fan support in San Diego on the road. They're hoping that carries all the way up the coast to Los Angeles for today's game. As for on the field, this is the second time the Chargers and the Broncos will have met this season. The first time, of course, that close, hard-fought battle at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. A blocked field goal, the only thing separating these two teams. The Broncos want to make sure they get off to a good, quick start. On offense, that means running the ball effectively, and on defense, applying pressure on the edges. Guys like Von Miller and Shaq Barrett not giving Phillip Rivers any time to throw. Keep it tuned to DenverBroncos.com after today's game. Phil Melania and myself will be live inside the locker room, and we'll also have Coach Vance Joseph and Trevor Siemian at the podium. But for now, Phil, we'll send it back to you on the field.
Thank you very much, Matt. Now we're back field level with Steve Atwater, our Broncos insider and Ring of Famer. Time for your keys to the game.
Yes, first key to the game is running the ball effectively. Denver Broncos, when they run the ball 32 times or more, we're undefeated. Times when we run the ball 23 times or less, we're winless. So running the ball is key to this ball game.
The Broncos ninth in the NFL in running the ball, just 46 yards last week. Key number two.
Key number two is that we cover the tight ends and their running back, Melvin Gordon, out of the backfield. The Los Angeles Chargers.
We're going to be doing that a lot.
The Chargers have made a really intense effort to get the ball to Hunter Henry, their tight end, and also to their running back, Melvin Gordon, out of the backfield. We've had some issues covering tight ends the last couple of games, so I think that's going to be key for us, that we cover Hunter Henry and also Melvin Gordon out of the backfield.
That first game, the Broncos held Hunter Henry to zero catches in week one. What'd they do that game, Steve?
Well, what they did, the Chargers did not pass the ball to the tight ends as much. They didn't even have a ton of targets that game. So I think they've seen how some of the other teams have had some success passing the ball to the tight end. I think they'll try to go that route today.
Yeah, Evan Ingram had a big day last week. All right, Steve, time for key number three.
Key number three is score touchdowns in the red zone. The Broncos right now are 27th in the NFL in red zone percentage, meaning the number of times they score touchdowns when inside the 20-yard line. I think if we get that number up to 60%, 65%, I think we'll be good to go.
Yeah, the Broncos having a lot of struggles down there getting the ball into the end zone. Steve, thank you very much for your keys to the game. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Phil.
You can find Steve Atwater on Orange and Blue 760 Monday through Friday for First and 10 at 10. And also every morning for Good Morning Broncos Country. That's on the Broncos YouTube page, Steve. Thank you very much. And now we are field level with the very busy Matt Boyer.
Costume changes and everything, right?
Yeah, wardrobe I appreciate changes. That. Yeah, thank you very much. Hustling around. The Broncos back in L.A. for the first time in 23 years.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? You had the Raiders and the Rams in Los Angeles for years. They had two teams. They went to none. Now we're back to two. It's an interesting dichotomy. I mean, we've looked at this stadium up and down since we've gotten here. It's a very unique feel. It's something that we're not going to see in the NFL for maybe years to come, because once the Chargers' new stadium is built, who knows what that means for the future of the NFL moving into smaller venues. So I do know that the players, we talked about it earlier, very excited to see what this has to bring. The San Diego fans always traveled, or the Broncos fans always traveled to San Diego. We'll see if that holds true for LA as well.
Yeah, we have some really cool video going here where the Broncos, last time they were in LA, the last time John Elway was
right.
in LA, they were playing the Raiders, had some success there. But John told me earlier this week that his favorite memories were as a high school player here in Los Angeles. Smallest NFL stadium, though, Matt. What do you think about this? Not really a bad scene in the house.
No, it's very the fans are very on top of you. I do like the intimate feel of it. Right, you've got cabanas in one end of the stadium. I think it's, like I said, it's very unique. It's very homey, there's one way to describe it, I guess. But I do think that it offers an experience that nobody else is going to be able to get. So I do think it's an incentive for fans to come here to experience a game at the StubHub Center. And we'll see if it carries over. But I do really like the fact that the fans are so close to the action.
Yeah, it is the smallest venue in the NFL, and the Chargers plan on staying here for the next 3 years.
27,000 people, so it'd be a lot more intimate, you know, and I feel like, you know, that'd be cool. You know, you get so used to playing in, like, you know, these big college stadiums and, like the Cowboys Stadium, and just, you know, really amazing stadiums that when you really humble it down to, you know, the sport, you know, it's good to switch it up like that.
It'll be a unique atmosphere for sure. Von Miller said it's about the same size as the stadium he played a playoff game in high school. And in the past in San Diego, there's always been plenty of orange and blue in the stands. The Broncos are expecting the same today.
I heard it been pretty opponent-friendly in there, you know. I think I seen Seattle had a bunch of fans there, so I don't know. We always have a bunch of fans at the Chargers game, so I don't know. Probably won't be no different this game.
It'll definitely be new. I know it's not the biggest stadium, so it'll be a little bit of a smaller crowd, which will be cool. So. Looking forward to going there on Sunday and playing the Chargers.
The 27,000 seats creates a great atmosphere for the MLS's LA Galaxy. But whether it's football or football, when the ball's kicked off, there's just one thing to do.
Put a helmet on, go play. You know, we play in front of 5,000 fans, 7,000 fans during training camp. Then we come out here and practice and get no fans, you know, during the season. So it doesn't matter. If you put the ball down in between the lines, go play. The Chargers don't care, so why should we?
You just got to put the ball down and go play some football. Matt, we're getting to that point in the show. Our final thoughts.
I think you got to establish the run. I think that was something that the Broncos were kind of lacking last game. And it's something that I know CJ Anderson talked about after the game. He's like, we got to do better. Jamal Charles, same thing. He said, we got to do better. We got to establish ourselves. We are a running team. We love to run the ball. And that's a hallmark. And so I do think the Broncos need to establish themselves on the line of scrimmage, get good push. I think that'll lead to great things.
Yeah, especially with the injuries along the offensive line, that's going to be huge. I got the question too.
Okay.
I like to do this to you.
You love to upsell me here.
One is no missed field goals on special teams. Brandon McManus had a tough week last week against the Giants, missed two. Hopefully he'll bounce back today, because I think the Broncos are going to need every point they can get. And then the other thing, maybe the defense can make a play. They're the only team in the NFL not to have a forced fumble. So if the defense makes some plays, they take advantage of other opportunities, especially with the field goal game, I think the Broncos could have some success here today.
I think the defense is looking ready to go. I saw Von Miller come out, had the rooster feathers on his shoes.
Yeah,
looking
did.
Ready to go. Talked to Shaq Barrett yesterday. He's excited. So I think that defensive front for the Broncos, very, very anxious to get on the field.
Okay, well, that is going to do it for us. We'll be live again post-game inside the locker room and at the podium. But until then, this has been the Broncos TV pregame show.
We said all week, it's about us. And you're either giving or getting in this league. And tonight is our night to give it. So go on and give it to them. Let's get this win. Win on three. One, two, three.
Todd Davis almost took the handoff.
Everybody.
chance we get, we got to score. We can't count on nobody else but ourselves.
Throws back to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver.
Starfield, Arsenal.
Yeah. Hey, DB.
The home run ball that should be picked. It is at the eight. Justin Simmons.
We have a chance Sunday to play the LA Chargers and to be 3-0 in our division. So we have a big opportunity on Sunday.